Let's please open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1227 in your Schofield Bible, and beginning with the 29th verse, we'll read through verse 34, and then we'll turn to one other verse of Scripture after that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29 through 34, page 1227. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? This 31st verse is a text verse. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Galatians chapter 2, please. And verse 20, page 1243 in your Schofield Bible, Galatians 2:20. Let's read together, please. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have right now to hear your word. Now, of course, the preacher has prepared. He has prepared in a way that most of us would not even understand or comprehend. We're thankful for that. But if we're not prepared to hear, then it's all in vain. So prepare our hearts just now and help us to get from the message what you would want us to. It's awfully important. Bless, we pray, and help us in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I read a little more scripture and bring the message to you, the two comments I want to make. First, I've been chuckling under my breath ever since Brother Weber said, nail him. There's something about that tells what First Baptist Church is about. Carnal. But he could have said, humble him, or even scripturally crucify him. But he said, nail him. That's what you meant, crucify him. And you said, nail him. But there's something about that shows the lack of pretense. There's not a more genuine Christian in this church than Brother Weber. And yet, nail him. I like it. I love it. Then there's something else that I want to share with you this morning that encouraged my heart. Just so happened that God planned it this way and arranged it this way. I got a big stack of mail I was reading. I think it's yesterday or the day before. And I must have opened, oh my soul, I must have looked through 200 pieces of mail. Opened one letter. It was from a college teacher at our college. It said, dear pastors, said something like this. Said, it's amazing how you always teach me new truth I did not know before. He said, it's amazing how God gives you food for us. Not only food for our souls, but food for thought. And this was from a college professor. The next letter I opened was from Iva Bartley, the widow of Rick Bartley. Wife of Rick Bartley. And Iva wrote this note, and it's right after I got the one from the college professor who said, thank you for the great truths you teach. And this is what it said. It said, Brother Hiles, our little girl. I don't know how old she is. Anybody know how old she is? 4 or 5, I guess, isn't she? How old? About 5 years old. And She got home after I preached the same sermon the other fellow was mentioning. And she said, Mommy, Brother Heil said that he put his little girl out on the pallet in the front yard. And as it got dark, he was inside watching her because he didn't want her to be afraid of the dark. He said, Mommy, would it be okay if we turned off my night light from now on? And I got thinking, isn't that sweet? Two letters, one right after the other. One from a college professor and the other from a little five-year-old girl. And they both understood the sermon. And my heart was blessed to realize that both of them got something from the sermon. And I've been praying that the college professor will turn his nightlight off too and not be afraid of the dark anymore. Let me, without you bothering to turn to it because of time, let me read four verses in different places in the Bible. I'm reading first one verse, Romans 8:36, as it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. Now I want you to notice that God never makes a mistake. He didn't say we're killed all the night long. He says we're killed all the day long. In your mind, you're going to go back to that during my sermon after a while. Nothing in the Bible is there by accident. It's all on purpose. We're killed all the day long. And after a while, though I'll not mention that verse, you'll think about it if you're listening to my message. I'll give you another one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You'll come back to that term in your mind after a while, living sacrifice. Sounds like sacrifices are dead. Altar, give an animal on the altar, it's dead. Bible says, I want you to give a living sacrifice, or, you want to paraphrase it, a living death. I read 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. Don't forget that. Then say, I die nightly. I die daily. I die daily. That's my text and my title this morning. I die daily. You'll think about that after a while in the message. And then I read again the very famous Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I get that. I'm crucified, but I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Three or four of those passages will come to your mind this morning, though I'll not call them to your mind as far as I know, as I speak to you on the subject, I die daily. Now, if you're a casual listener, you will find little in this message. If you're one who comes to church because it's Sunday, just like a person would go to Mass, not to learn anything, not to hear anything, but it's Sunday, you're supposed to go to church to worship God, you'll leave unfed. But if you came to be fed, you will leave nourished because you will listen to what I say this morning. You don't have any idea, most people don't, what the apostle meant when he said, I die daily. Don't forget, didn't say I die nightly, I die daily. Don't forget, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. Now, back in those days, they had no night shifts. Back in those days, they had no factory work where you worked a shift work. Those days, they worked when the sun was up and slept when the sun was down. Paul said, I die daily. Father, bless the message, please. And this simple messenger and these dear listeners, teach us, feed us this morning. Amen. I love the woods. I love trees. Most everywhere I go, I find the woods. I don't care where it is, I try to find some woods. If I can borrow a car, or what, woods are close enough to where I am, I go to the woods. I love the woods. I love the trees. But now I'm going to surprise you. Do you know when I love the trees the most? I love the trees the most in wintertime, when there's not a leaf on the tree. I would rather spend time in the woods when there's not a leaf on the tree. Now, hear me carefully. You know why? Because that's when trees are living. You say, hold it, preacher. You done cracked up again. No, trees are living in the springtime, in the summertime. No. Trees are dying in the summertime. Trees are living in the wintertime. Every tree in the forest today is going through the death process. And it will continue to die until the last leaf is fallen. And when the last leaf is fallen, something happens inside that tree. It begins to live. And life is in that tree, getting ready for the springtime blossoms and leaves, so the tree can go through the summertime dying. Do you understand what I'm saying? The tree is living in the wintertime, preparing for its blessing you, offering shade to you, offering fruit to you, offering beauty to you. But the beauty is the dying process. You see, most people love the trees the most now because they think they're living, but they're wrong. They're dying. I'm dying today. I'm not living. I'm dying. You're dying. You started dying the moment you were born. I have evidences of my dying. Starts off on the top of my head. A little of me dies and my leaves fall off every day. And before they fall, they usually turn to their coat of other colors. They change the color and then they fall. I'm dying. That's why I have these things. You're still out there, aren't you? That's why I have these things on, though I look far more handsome without them. But I'm dying. So what we call life is the process of dying. And what we call death is the process of living. The trees are picking up life in the wintertime. And the trees are giving away life in the summertime. So when we think the trees are living, they're dying. We think the trees are dying, they're living. Let me illustrate what I mean. What is that? What is it, Clark? It's an electric razor. Electric shaver. Ask a question. What is it doing now? It's dying. It's using up its power. And if I leave that on for a while, it'll totally die. This is the... I have several electric razors. This is a cordless, but I take this with my briefcase. When I get to the motel room, I take this out of my briefcase and I take the little self-charging extension cord out. I plug that little self-charging extension cord in the wall plug, and then that's why I have to use a rubber band around it, because I carry it in a briefcase. I don't put it in the box because it's on the box in the briefcase. So I put that little rubber band around it, and I take it off like that. And then it has a little spot here that where a light comes on. I plug the cord into here and put the other end into the wall plug. I'm teaching you some things I'm sure you already know. But now what happens? While this is being used, it's dying. Right? Now, when it is not being used like this and laid on the little counter in the bathroom at night, and the cord is plugged into the shaver and into the wall plug, what is it? It's gaining life.
So while it's being used, it's dying. While it's not being used, it's living. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, I die daily. I'm being used every day. That's what he said. At night, I go along with God and I live. I get the power to die in the daytime. He wasn't saying I die daily. He wasn't saying every day, I just go out and throw myself on the ground and say I'm not worth anything, anybody, and I'm just going to die. He wasn't talking about that. No, he was saying I serve daily. He was saying I help you daily. If it had been otherwise, he'd say I die nightly. Because in the nighttime, we gain strength and life for the day. Last night, while I was sleeping, I was living. New life was coming into me. If you'd seen me get up this morning, you wouldn't have thought much new life came in through the night. And not as much comes in as used to come in, I'll tell you for sure. But the honest truth is, that's what it's all about, sleep at night. The working hours are dying hours. You don't believe it, you keep on working. You come home at night after working all day and you say to your wife, or she says to you, more likely, I am just, what?
Dead.
I am just dead. Or I am dead tired. Why? You've been dying all day. Now you go to bed at night and you get recharged, just like that shaver gets recharged when the cord is in. Cord's a big word, always throws me. When the cord is in, that shaver is getting life. Same way with the tree. The tree is living in the wintertime, so it may die in the summertime. So what we call living is the process of dying. And what we call dying is the process of living. For what we call death, it looks like death. It is really the gaining of new life. Okay, a person sound asleep. I rented a car not long ago, and I was in another city, and I went out to the woods. And as I got in the car, I decided to just watch the woods a while in the car, and I went to sleep. And went along to some older lady. She must have been 60. She knocked on my car window, and I shook myself like that and rolled the window down, and she said, "Are you dead?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Now, why did she think I was dead? Because I was sleeping. You see. So sleeping is what looks like death, but sleeping is life. And working and playing is what looks like life, but it's death. But while you're sleeping, you're getting new life, which can die the next day. And while this razor is being charged through the night, it is living. Why? So when I travel on the airplane and I decide I want to shave, the other day I shaved and I shaved and I shaved on the airplane. I got off and I felt my beard and I said, my razor is not working. I forgot to take this little goojigger off right here. And I shaved like that. And I traveled through the night. I'd been living through the night. And so I was barely awake, and I shaved, and I looked in the mirror, and I thought, my soul. And then it dawned on me what I had done. And you will be old someday, and you won't want folks laughing at you either. But so life is really preparing to die. And death is really preparing to live. So what we call death is really the increase of life. Hey, my mother spent 96 years dying. Now she spent 3 years living. See? We say, when did your mother die? She died 99 years ago. She began to die 99 years ago. And she died for 96 years because death is not an event or a time. Death is a process. And so my mother spent 96 years dying, and finally she got plugged in. And now she's living. You don't believe it, you let the rapture trumpet sound this afternoon, and you'll see her come forth like a jackrabbit, I guarantee you for sure. Why? Because my mother was dying when we thought she was living. My mother didn't pass away, she began to live. Jesus said, I'm he who was alive and was dead, and am alive forevermore. So, death is the increase of life. Life is the increase of death. So death is not life and life is not death. You understand that? Death is not life and life is not death. What we call life is death because this morning, I'm not living for you. I'm dying for you this morning. I lived for you last night. I got new life last night so I could have strength to get up this morning and die. And all day, I'll die for you. Why? Because I'm serving you. And then tonight I'll go to bed. I'll go to sleep. And I'll be living new life coming into me. And that's why I love the trees in wintertime. Because they're alive. The world's that way. We look at the trees and say they're alive now. Look at wintertime. Look at all those dead trees. Those trees aren't dead. They're more alive in the wintertime than they are in the summertime. And that's one reason the Christian life looks so dull. And people say, oh boy, what a dead life. You know what it's talking about, brother? You, if you ever die to sin and die to the world and die to self, you'll know what life really is. We say it doesn't look so good, but it feels good. Ask the tree. Walk up the tree in December and say, boy, you look terrible. He says, but I feel great. Don't have that load to carry. I carry all winter, all summer. Yeah. Instead of life going out as it did in July, life is coming in. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger. I'm going to be able to serve, but I'm getting life. So when the tree is giving you its shade, it is dying for you. When the tree is giving you its fruit, it is dying for you. When the tree is giving you its beauty, it is dying for you. As I said a while ago, today I'm not living, I'm dying. Now follow this statement. Birth is really the birth of death. The little child is born in the Moffat family, of course. The little child is born. Life is not born, death is born. And the moment that little child is born, the last breath that child breathes in his physical body, that child is dying. Institutions are that way. Howells Anderson College will die someday. Take the University of Chicago. One day, University of Chicago, it was founded by fundamentalist people just like we are. And now, fundamentalists are relics in their museum. They wouldn't spit on us. We're on fire. Why? Because the dirty liberals and PECOs have taken over. The other day I was in Philadelphia. I drove by what they call the Temple University. Great big university, famous university in Philadelphia. And I remember the story behind that university. A little fundamentalist Baptist preacher told his church one day God wanted him to start a college. And he started a college called Temple College. I guess it was then. And then it became Temple University. And now it's a hotbed for humanism and modernism and sin. Why? Because we are born dying. Now we put off the death as long as we can. I took an aspirin this morning. You know why I took it? I don't either. I didn't feel bad. Somebody told me one time, take an aspirin a day, you won't have a stroke. If I have one now, I've taken an aspirin a day, I'm going to go back to that person if I can get there. Tell them off, I can talk. But I'm saying that life, as we call it, is dying. And we ought to die. But you've got to live before you can die. When Paul said, I die daily, he was saying, I serve you daily. I give myself to you daily. I serve Christ daily. Why? I die daily. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I die daily, I serve daily. So, actually, his living was being with God. Hear me now. You want to really live? You get with God alone. I mean, just get plugged in. That's when this machine lives. If this machine could talk, it would say right now, I'm getting tired. That machine has not been plugged in since last Monday night. No. Longer than that. That machine had not been plugged in since a week ago last Tuesday night. Because I forgot my cord this week when I went to California. And that machine right now is saying, I'm pooped. Can you hear it? See? That machine is saying, I'm worn out. I'm tired. I'm dying. And I'll let that thing, I guarantee you, if I let that thing right there for 30 minutes, it wouldn't shave anymore. Why? It'd be dead. Ah, but I put that machine over in the office and put that cord right here in the other end in the wall plug, and that little machine says, boy, I feel life coming in. Real life. Now you won't see it because it's in the darkness. You won't see it. You won't think it's doing any good, but the machine's getting life. Now that's one reason why it's time that God's people realize that you live while you pray. You get low with God and you get plugged in. You live. Average Christian not living, he's dying. That's one reason why you funny people, pleasure-seeking people, pleasure-mad people, you're not riding the loop-a-loop or the round-a-round, you're not having any fun. The truth is, you're not having fun on that thing. I see you hold on. Didn't we have fun? I have understood that. It's not life, it's death. What's life? Walking with God. Paul said, I die daily. What do you do at night, Paul? I live. Jesus gave his life daily. What do you do at night, Jesus? Go out in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives and get plugged in. I live. That's what the Lord means when it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, the mounting up with wings as eagles is not the renewing of the strength. That's for dying. But you wait upon the Lord. Plug the cord in. Get there where the power is. And plug the cord in. And walk with God. The average person here doesn't spend 5 minutes a day with God. And that's why your life is death. If you want to live, get to know God.
And then you live. Now, wait a minute. After you live, you can die. What is death? Serving others. You want to know why Mrs. Bartels spent her life serving others? Because she could die. You can't die if you don't live. Just like you can't come back from where you ain't been. If you're not alive, you can't die. So you've got to die. How do you die? Serving. How do you die? For others. But how could she die? How could she serve others? Because she lived alone. When she walked with God, she was living. When she was praying, she was living. By night, she lived. By daytime, she died. Dying is what? Dying is serving. I wish I could explain to you somehow and get this through to you so you'd understand what Christian life is really all about. Paul wasn't saying when he said, I die daily, I go to a monastery and stay alive and die. You don't give up your life when you leave this old pleasure-crazed world and get along with God. You pick up your life. You give up your life when you come back to this crazy, mad world and try to help it and try to serve it. That's dying. And Paul said, I die daily. He was saying, I go soul winning daily. Paul was saying, I die daily. He was saying, I sacrifice for you daily. Paul was saying, I die daily. He was saying, I feed you daily. Paul was saying, I die daily. He was saying, I clothe the naked daily. He was saying, I die daily. He was saying, I feed the hungry daily. When he was saying, I die daily, he was saying, I lift the fallen daily. When he was saying, I die daily, he said, I get tired daily. Doing what? Strengthening you, teaching you, helping you, serving you, loving you, feeding you, clothing you, winning you. He's saying, I die daily. That's what dying daily is. Anybody that knows anything about the tradition and the lifestyle of the Eastern people back in these days, you know they worked in the daytime. He said, I die daily. He's got to be dying. He had to be dying while he was working. By night, they slept. These folks went to bed at sundown. You folks don't know that, but I can recall when we used to have a wash night service, we used to have to drink 3 cups of coffee every hour. Stay awake because we went to bed at 8 o'clock. Now we have a wash night service, folks go to bed early. And they go home. Because you've got to go home, watch Nightline, find out what the latest garbage is. Or you could read your Bible, but of course that's not any fun. You're having too much fun dying to want to live. And so, Paul is saying, I'm serving you every day. All right, now hear me carefully. If I don't live, I can't die. If I don't die, I can't live. If this thing isn't used up, it will not get one more bit of power when you plug it in.
This thing cannot live unless it's used up. And you're never going to live in the sense of getting more life till you give your life for others. That's what the resurrection's all about. Jesus, when he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, he wasn't dead, he was living. He was dying for 33 years. He went to Calvary and gave his life, and the final consummation of death was there. He went to the grave. What happened? He began to live. I wish you knew what it's like to die daily. Serve others daily. And I say this, and I'm afraid that this will give fodder to my enemies. But it doesn't matter. So they have true fodder than false fodder. But I'll say this. If you knew me, and I doubt if anybody does really completely, but if you knew me anywhere half well, you'd know my life is spent doing two things. My life is spent alone with God to live and serving man to die. Do you die daily? You won't have anything to die if you don't live and walk with God. You don't get plugged in? You can't die. Because you can't die till you live. But I wonder about this. When you do get plugged in and walk with God, what do you do about it? I know people who want to walk with God by night and want to walk with God by day. No, you walk with God by night and you walk with man by day. Man needs you in the daytime. While man sleeps, I walk with God. While man's awake, I walk with man. So while man is sleeping, I live, and while man is awake, I die. And Paul is saying, I die daily. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. Of course, you say, oh boy, what a life. When I get old, I'm going to move to Florida, and I'm going to live get me a little cabin there on the ocean with a beach front, and I am going to live. No, you're not. You're going to die. That's death. What's living? Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Didn't he say, I am the resurrection of life? If he is the life, there's no other life. And if you want to live, you've got to learn to walk with him. But if you want to die daily, you've got to use that energy you get from walking with him in service for somebody else. This morning I picked up a little note, and I'll close with this. I picked up a little note this morning from Mrs. Knack. Dear Brother Hiles, thank you for the beautiful wedding that you gave for Tracy. She said some people who are visiting said, are Baptist weddings all that personal? Always that personal? And I wept. Because I tried hard to make that wedding personal. Because I know the heartbreak that woman's carried the last 2 years. And I got a letter. Said, Dear Brother Hiles, thank you for the beautiful funeral for Mrs. Bilby. Said, Brother Hiles, thank you for being what the family needed you to be. And I wept. And I got a little letter from a little couple. Said, Brother Hiles, you've given us hours and hours lately trying to help us. Brother Hiles, we believe we can see our way through. We couldn't have made it if you hadn't helped us. Now, that's life. No, that's death. That's death. And I thought about the 9 hours I spent trying to find what God wanted me to do at the Bilby funeral. 9 hours for about maybe 12 minutes. You know why? Because I want to die. But I can't die unless I live. And I say this again. If you knew me and my schedule, if you knew all that I do and everywhere I go, you'd know that there are two great things in my life. Living. And that's living. And
He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. What's that? That's being plugged in. That's living, brother. That's living. Oh, when you spend time with Him and get to know Him real well, when time is over and you got to go die again, you say, oh, brother, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave. I want to stay with you. I'm living. And then the other half of it, I want to die. I want to take the life that I get when I'm alone with Him. And I want to be what you need. God knows I do. Father, bless the message.